Hello and welcome into Brewcast for Amazing Brew on the SB Nation Podcast Network. As I am your host, Luke Yardy, along with Scotty White, and here with you on Monday night, January 30th, as we get set in a couple of days to turn the page to February, which of course is 1 month until March. Will we be seeing the Wolverines much in March? That obviously remains to be seen. Scotty White, what's going on, man? How you doing here tonight?
I'm doing pretty well. It's getting close to that time, and I think we might be seeing them, but it might be in the NIT, Luke.
And I think that's a might at this point, man.
Yeah.
To be quite honest with you. It's a struggle. 11-10 right now overall. They're 5-5 in the Big Ten. And I'm just gonna put it plainly, man. That was an embarrassing performance yesterday in Happy Valley.
Yeah. Oh, it was, dude. I mean, I don't know why I even watched that whole game. It was incredibly painful. The lineups that were sent out there, I'm scratching my head about that. The defense is just impossible to watch. It feels like the season's been going on forever. We're running out of time to turn things around. But yesterday was definitely up there for one of the worst games in the Juwan era, I think, right up there with that Arizona State loss earlier this year.
You know, I tweeted this out yesterday that this team isn't even like fun to watch. You know what I'm saying? There's nothing really redeeming about it. The defensive effort is an atrocity at times. When they want to play defense, they've shown that they could be a really good defensive team. You go back to the Maryland game, you go back even to the Michigan State game, they played some really good defense, played some decent defense against Penn State the first time that they played them. But, I mean, there's an incredible lack of communication guarding the pick and roll. I mean, it's almost like an elementary school team at times trying to guard the pick and roll. And offensively, there's not a lot of off ball movement, right? You know, Juwan comes from the NBA. It's a lot of high pick and roll stuff, which is you know, fine sometimes. But they I feel like they don't utilize jet a lot in that high pick and roll, or at least enough, right? Like that's a lottery pick wing that you have. If you're going to run that stuff, like when you watch the NBA and you see all these teams, you know, and all these, you know, stars that are putting in 40 points. Like, I feel like we've seen more 40 plus point games in the NBA this year than we ever have, you know, and it's because the usage rates are through the roof for the stars. They get them in the high pick and roll sets and they let them go to work. Whereas Michigan, you know, and part of the thing is Jet's best ability is catch and shoot. So you kind of pick your poison there, right? If you're Michigan, are you trying to run, you know, high pick and roll with Hunter and Kobe and trying to let, you know, Kobe attack off the pick and roll? Maybe you get some help from Jet's side. He's open for a catch and shoot three. But if you really want to be effective in that type of offense, your best player has to be utilized in the pick and roll. And I feel like Jet's not doing that a lot. And when he is, there's zero off ball stuff. So it's just not good basketball to watch a lot of the time, man.
Yeah, it's really not. I think the only fun part about watching it is sometimes Jet. For example, the beginning of the Penn State game, I mean, the defense was really bad as usual. But Michigan was hanging in there. Jet Howard started the game 6 of 6, had like 13 of the first 15 points. He can go on some crazy shooting runs where he's just not missing anything, including the deep ball. You think about the advantage that obviously Hunter Dickinson's numbers have been down this year, but you think about the advantage that Michigan still has with him on the floor. You see why his numbers are down. Every time he catches the ball down low, he's swarmed by sometimes four people, usually two or three people. It really creates a lot of openings at other parts of the floor, and Michigan's just not doing a good job utilizing that. A lot of times they get good looks and they're just not hitting them. That's something that, you know, a team should really be able to use as a strength. You know, you've got a really good big. He's still getting a ton of attention. There are a ton of open players and they're just not utilizing that as well as I think they could be. And like I said earlier, dude, I don't understand why Will Shedder was not in that game in the first half. He was healthy.
It's
he came
crazy.
In at the end. I don't understand it.
It's crazy. Like he yeah. Will Cheddar must be the world's worst practice player. That's the only mm-hmm. thing that I can think of. Like how T Will gets so many more minutes than him, particularly because of what he brings on the defensive side, right? Like there is such a bad lack of communication from Michigan on the defensive side, but when he's in there, he's communicating the entire time and you see it immediately. The defense picks up because he's telling everyone where they need to go. You know, like he's obviously not perfect, but he's the only guy who's really communicating out there. Get that guy on the floor and he does so many other great things. He averages 8 minutes a game. And he impacts it some of the most, you know, probably third most on the team, it feels like at times. So I don't know, man. I'm at a loss for why that guy is not getting more minutes. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, his plus minus is great. Michigan usually does really well with him on the floor. I mean, he hustles harder than it seems like anybody else does. Seems like he cares. Seems like he wants to be out there. And it's not like the Penn State game made no sense to me. Like it wasn't like Michigan was down by 30 points the entire second half. Juwan took a lot of the starters out and was getting guys. It looked like he was putting Cheddar in like as a you know bench player that doesn't get any playing time except for when those type of games happen. That's not the type of player he is. He had
right.
It looked like he was kind of, you know, getting up to the point where he was going to get some more minutes and then that happens. I genuinely just can't wrap my head around that. I mean, I keep saying after all of these losses that I'm going to expect him to play more in the next game. But at this point, I don't.
Really at this point, you can't expect that. Roster. Legitimately, yeah. You cannot expect it.
And I don't. And Michigan's running out of chances. And the thing that's so upsetting about it, too, is the Big Ten sucks this year, dude.
It's not
a good conference. I mean, Michigan doesn't play another ranked team. So you look at the schedule and you're like, I mean, there's a lot of chances for wins here. But it's been so bad. They've only played one ranked team in Big Ten play, and it was Purdue last week. It's incredible.
Man, you think about it, right? And so you've got, you know, a preseason National Player of the Year candidate in Hunter Dickinson coming back for his third season. You've got a guy who's going to a wing, a two-guard in Jed Howard, 6'8" wing, who's going to get taken in the lottery. In the NBA, you've got Kobe Bufkin, a five-star recruit. And this Michigan team, like that alone is you should at least at minimum, right? You should be looking at like a 10 or 11 seed in the NCAA tournament. Like we've seen stars carry much worse teams into the NCAA tournament. Michigan might make the NIT at this point. Like at the end of the day, and he's earned a lot of leeway, has Juwan here. You know, he's won the Big Ten. He went to the Elite Eight in his second year, went to the Sweet 16 last year. His job is not in jeopardy, nor should it be, you know, at this moment. But given all that, this is one of the worst coaching jobs you're going to find, to be quite honest with you, to put it point blank. And save me all the nonsense. Oh, they got so many new guys. It's going to take forever to get the chemistry. I hate that because, number one, that was a choice, right? That was a choice to construct the roster this way. If he had wanted legitimately guys like Brandon Johnson and Zeb Jackson to stay, he probably could have got that. Like his philosophy the last 3 years has been to go out and get a transfer guard. Now, how much different does this team look with Jalen Llewellyn? Didn't look that great with him running the offense, to be quite honest with you. And look at the roster construction. You don't really have another point guard on the roster other than Doug McDaniel. Kobe's a natural two guard. So, I mean, he can play the point, you know, if need be, but at the end of the day, the roster construction is poor. The rotations are poor. The defensive effort is – there's just so much poor. There's just not much that this team does very well right now.
Yeah. Yeah, and the tough part about it this year too has been it seems like the games that Michigan has almost played the best in are, you know, the ones against Virginia and Purdue and Kentucky. You know, when they're playing the best teams they're going to face and they're coming up just short, North Carolina, they were right in that one. I mean, you look back at the game against Purdue on Thursday night, Michigan's without their best player, Jet Howard, and they were there. They were, you know, competing. I think it got it down to a 3-point game there at the end. And I'm almost thinking like, you know, maybe if Jet's in this game, Michigan finds a way to win this. And then it's really inconsistent still. Big similarity to last year. But yeah, it's the schedule. I mean, like I said, there's a lot of spots for wins, but I think Michigan's got to look at, I want to say there's 10, 11 games left. I feel like they've only got room to lose maybe two more of those to have a chance at this tournament.
Well, here's the biggest issue right here, Scotty, and you kind of pointed out, it's that the Big Ten is garbage. So yeah. Even, you know, getting these wins, because where Michigan stands right now is they are 83rd in net ranking. 83rd. Like, yeah. They are sandwiched between Utah Valley and UC Santa Barbara in the net rankings right now.
Wow.
Yes. They have zero quad one wins. They are 0-8. In quad one games. They're 4-1 in quad two, 2-0 in quad three, 5-1 in quad four. Like, it's just, it's not a resume. And you take a look down the line, like, where are the good wins going to come from? You know, your road games are at Northwestern, at Wisconsin, at Rutgers, at Illinois, at Indiana. Maybe you can win a couple of those, even if they're not great wins. Home games against Nebraska, Indiana, Michigan State, Wisconsin. I mean, there's just not a lot of great wins left to be had on the schedule. Like, it's going to take a huge push down the final, part of the regular season here, and probably a win or two in the Big Ten tournament to even have a conversation that they're on the bubble.
Yeah. Yeah. And I will say, earlier I said there's no ranked teams left as of today. With the new rankings, Indiana's 21. So play them twice. But other than that, yeah, all unranked teams, not a lot of good chances for good wins. And even if there were, I mean, Michigan hasn't showed us any reason to believe that they have it in them to come out and win 8 or 9 of these last 10 games and then make some noise in the Big Ten tournament. So it's certainly going to be a major uphill climb. It could be a long month for sure.
It's just so disappointing, right? Because this team should be so much better. I mean, think, like you said, they absolutely blew the Virginia game, obviously. Had a chance to win the Kentucky game down the stretch. Played North Carolina tough. But you've got none of those wins. And at the end of the day, how do you get that? I mean, you can't just scrub that loss to Central Michigan off, you know, either.
Oh, yeah. That's dragging them down quite a bit.
Yeah. It's incredibly disappointing. I don't know. It feels like to me, and I don't know, maybe this will change, because last year, you know, Michigan was in a somewhat similar position, obviously. I think they had some better wins at this point in the season, but they needed to do some big things down the stretch of the season to get in the NCAA tournament, and they make a run to the Sweet 16. And I think if Michigan were to somehow, some way make the tournament, say they go on a run the way with the Big Ten championship or whatever, if they were to make, like, they're talented enough to do that again here this year if they lock in defensively. But again, this team has been so inconsistent, it's hard to envision a scenario where that's a reality. And it feels like over the last few years, the program has just kind of continued to get worse each year.
Yeah, I have noticed that trend as well. They were able to pull it off last year, and we've seen spurts of it. Like you said, in that Maryland game to open up the real Big Ten schedule. Obviously, it was the game with Minnesota before that. But I mean, lights out shooting and lockdown defense for a blowout win. Like, they can put it together. It happens, and to be honest with you, as a Michigan fan, that's what has me, you know, having that little bit of belief, like, okay, we can still make the tournament. Like, logically, I know that that's probably not the case. But as a fan, just knowing that at any one of these games, we've seen some good things that Michigan can do. But unfortunately, it just hasn't been happening consistently enough. And last year, we kept hoping that it would get consistent, and I think for the last 10 games of the season last year, Michigan went win loss win loss win loss win loss win loss, and obviously that's not going to cut it down the stretch here. So yeah, it's they're going to have to become consistent real quick and consistently good, because they're certainly running out of time.
Yeah, and they've got one win in conference on the road. Like, I understand it's hard to win in the Big Ten, but absolutely blew the Iowa game. You know,
oh my gosh, that one. Yeah, that one keeps me up at night.
That one hurts. A piss poor outing in the first half against Maryland to start that game. And that just didn't even show up in Happy Valley yesterday. Yeah. I don't know, man. It's frustrating to watch this team, to be quite honest with you, and to follow them.
It really is. And it doesn't get much easier on the Northwestern's in second place in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
But I will say, I think that that's going to be Michigan's best chance for, you know, to get things rolling with a road win in the Big Ten, just because usually Michigan fans, they make it out to those games when Michigan plays at Northwestern. I'm going to go to it. I'm going to try to provide Michigan.
I did see that you were a little on the fence after the performance yesterday.
You know, I was, just because I'm going to have to sit in the Northwestern student section, and I'm just gonna be like, if we lose, like, I hate being around opposing fans if Michigan is losing. Like, it is the worst. But you know, obviously at the end of the day, I'm still gonna go support the team, maybe bring a little good luck charm, and I'm hoping that all of the Michigan fans in the Chicago area will make the trip out there too.
Well, I certainly hope you can do that, man, because Michigan's gonna need a big push down the final stretch here. But just a little blitz episode for you here tonight, not going the full length here this week, but a good one. Had to get some stuff off our chest about this Michigan basketball squad.
Yeah, definitely. We've got about a little over a month left of the season. Fingers crossed that Michigan makes a turn. But yeah, we'll be back next week, and hopefully we've got some wins to talk about.
Yeah, and hopefully we'll probably talk a little more in depth coming up next week. Well, Scotty, before we let you go, where can we find you on social media?
You guys can give me a follow on Twitter at @ScottyWhite_. All of the basketball stories right now and a little bit of football and all the podcasts are posted on there.
You can find me on Twitter at Luke Ghiardi, LukeGhiardi. Follow the Maize and Brew show page as well at Maize and Brew. Subscribe, rate, leave a review for all of our podcasts here at Maize and Brew. And a lot of great stuff on the site here this week. We'll be back for my partner, Scotty White. I'm Luke Ghiardi, and we'll see you next week on Brewcast.